Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. The words of our mothers are powerful and encouraging. There was a gentleman who said, if I told my mother that I was going to be a priest, she would tell me, you're going to be the Pope. If I told my mom you were going to be I was going to be a soldier, she said, no, you'll become a general. And he said, so I decided to become an artist, and I became Pablo Picasso. The words of our mothers are very encouraging and powerful. One thing that I am so grateful, my mom is here. Mom, feliz Dia de las Madres. Happy Mother's Day. A child thinks, they grow to the point where they think they may know the total sacrifice of their mom, but I don't know if I fully know it. So mom, thank you for everything you've ever done. We have some ladies up here. And they are going to share some words with us. We have some direct questions we're going to ask them. I sent them the questions ahead of time. I don't think you should blindside a mom on Mother's Day. And so they've come prepared with answers. And we'll start over here. Please tell us about, for those of us that don't know, tell us your name, your spouse's name, the number of children, and their ages.
Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. My name is Cindy Capace, and my husband, you might know him, his name is Brett Capace, and he preaches here every once in a while, and I really love him a lot. We've been blessed with three daughters. They're adult children, so I probably will not say their ages, but also their names, Lauren, Hannah, and Reagan. Love them.
And yes, indeed. And next we have...
We love your kids, too. Good morning, I'm Judith. My husband is Damien, so he's at home, so I am very grateful for my husband. We have two children, and I usually get their ages wrong. I usually say they're 8 and 10 or 10 and 12, but I have to be reminded they're actually 12 and 14. So I'm sort of stuck back in moments of time. But Andrew is our oldest, and he is about ready to start high school, so please... keep me and our family on your prayer list. And my daughter is just finishing sixth grade in middle school, so her name is Malia.
And my name is Kim LaFavor. My husband is Jacob LaFavor, and we have eight kids, four boys, four girls. And Elijah is 12, Samara is 11, Selah is 10, Skyla is 9, Moses is 7, Justice is 6, Sarah is 3, and Jairus is 10 months. Wow.
Hi guys, my name's Mary. It's my husband Henry. We've been married for 19 years in September. About our kids, so we have our Saint, and he's 14, and Angel's 12, and Halo's 9, but everyone has birthdays this summer, so we have everyone getting older. So don't remember the number. They'll be big soon.
We'll just be ready for a summer party.
Summer party, yeah.
Indeed, indeed. And so the first major question, what is something that has competed against raising and investing into your children, and how have you fought against that? Be that worry, fear, doubt, distractions. What has competed against raising and investing into your children? Jude.
So I'll start. For me, I'm going to say it's the two usual culprits, and you guys might agree with me at times. It's time and distractions. Yeah. And because I keep asking Cindy, how do we freeze kids so they quit growing, and how do I turn back time or have it slow down some way, but it doesn't. It does speed up. And my gift that I requested for Mother's Day was that the laundry and the grocery shopping would magically go away, but that doesn't happen either. So I think it's just about, for me, always finding the moments of making each moment count or being intentional in them. So for instance, when the kids were little, if I do work outside of the home, and if I was getting ready for work, and Andrew and Malia would toddle in, I would drop everything in the sink and sit down on the floor for a minute and put them in my lap and enjoy that moment. And now that Andrew's 6 foot tall, I really can't just sit down and put him in my lap because it doesn't work quite as well. But I might go and cuddle in bed with Malia for a few minutes or, you know, take the dogs for a walk together. And that's kind of how we get our moments. And I think you have to choose distractions for the kids, when to say no, and for us, when to say no. And there's a fear of missing out, that FOMO. But you might have seen on Instagram, I found an acronym this week called JOMO. And it's the joy of missing out. And I think that there is true joy when you're intentionally making a decision to stay in and have time together as a family. So indeed. That's my new.
Indeed. Yeah. Kim.
Wow, that was good. Thank you. Well, for me, I would say it would be other good things. You know, there are so many, like, great causes to champion and so many things that I want to be involved in, so many things that I want to say yes to. And what really keeps me in check is knowing my priorities. So not only do I know my priorities, I know in what order they fall, I know why they're my priorities, what that means to me, what that looks like in my life, and then I actually arrange my day around my priorities. So I start with God first, and then my husband, and then my kids, so I make sure that I'm investing in all the people that are important to me, and all the things that are important to me, and then when things come up, opportunities or things might arise, then I can just kind of lay that against my priorities and say, okay, am I going to have time to invest in my primary relationships? Am I going to have time to, you know, do these things that are very important to me? Or is it going to spread me too thin? Or, you know, am I going to feel like I'm giving something up? So that really helps me that my priorities determine my commitments and my priorities manage my time.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Mary.
I wrote down, I have paper, I'm not, yeah. So things are constantly trying to get my attention. My chores, our phones, our bills, working extra hours. I also threw in like fears and worries. We think they're time suckers or things that we really don't really focus on, but we have to fight them all the time, especially our thoughts, because they're constantly running. Just to be present with my family. To be a mom who listens and meets the needs of my kids and to give them the attention they deserve. Because if I'm constantly thinking on Mary and what I'm worried about or thinking about or my schedule, I'm not really able to focus on what really matters. And even if my house is a mess, if I'm out of dog food and I'm running late, those things don't really matter. And it's funny because those happen often. But God is good, and I need to always try to pull back and what really matters, like you guys both said.
Excellent. Thank you. Kim, we'll start with you on this question. Cindy. Cindy, we're coming to you on this question.
You're going to miss me. Okay.
No, we're not.
So I'm the oldest mom up here, and, you know, I'm not at the same point in life as these ladies are. So I look back at my life, and you know how you look back and you think, oh, it was all glorious. You don't remember the bad at all. So that's kind of where I am right now. Like, I don't remember any problems. You know, I love, in the moment, yes, there were problems and distractions. So I kind of look at it, I'm approaching it a different way. So I was talking to my husband last night, and, you know, we're going over some of the questions and some of my answers. And one of the things I felt like is a distraction or was a distraction for us was, our call to ministry was extremely demanding at times, and we wanted to make sure that we worked really hard not to put undue pressure on our kids, and that was very challenging for me. I would rather have been a mom than anything. I was never really competing, like, oh, I want to do this and not be a mom. I always wanted just to be a mom. Yes, things did get in the way, but I think sometimes, I guess I would say I was guilty of putting ministry ahead of what may have been best for my kids or my children, because I worried about what everybody else was thinking. So that would probably, you know, be one of my biggest distractions in raising children.
Thank you for sharing. Kim, we'll start with you on this question. What is one area in your parenting where you have seen God's hand in a major, major way?
Yeah, well, God has come through for us so many times, and he's so, so faithful. And one thing that my husband and I are very thankful for is the atmosphere in our home. And this is just totally a God thing, that God is there, and his spirit is there, and the fruit of the spirit is there. And we're not perfect, and I'm not trying to say that we do it all right or anything like that, but it's just a God thing that we love each other so much, and our kids love each other, and we love being together.
And oftentimes when we have an opportunity to go out and do something or stay home, most of the time the kids just want to stay home and be together. So I'd say that's, again, just a God thing and something I'm very thankful for.
Amen. Amen. Mary.
So I kind of added the same like Kim, God's hand in our marriage, because we didn't start parenting as a team. We kind of started like in this, like we, probably the biggest marriage fights we got in was about parenting. So yeah, now after 14 years of parenting, just of parenting time, we have so much more unity. So I think I value Henry's input and his approach when we parent our kids like a lot more than I did in the beginning. And I think our kids are getting the blessing and God is getting all the glory. So people see things with our family and it's definitely God, but we've come a long way.
Amen. Amen. Cindy and Jude.
Me again, okay.
Yes.
I have to say also the faithfulness of God has just been amazing. Despite my failures and my attempts to be a mom, the right kind of mom, God was just always faithful. And I'm very grateful that I could go to him, you know, for discernment and wisdom in situations I didn't know what to do. Like, it was hard. So I'm just really grateful that God, he was just always there for me. And when there wasn't anybody else there, I could just go to him and say, God, I don't know what to do. He's just so faithful, and I really appreciate that.
I agree. Along the same lines, I would say for me, it's been the invaluable gift of the Holy Spirit for my kids' understanding. I think the way that the Holy Spirit has worked in them to have a deeper understanding of a relationship in Christ and just really a level that was far beyond my years, I think, at their age, is just such a gift, because it's much greater than what Damien or I could even teach them. And so I'm just really blessed that, you know, our prayer is that that continues to grow and that gift of the Holy Spirit continues to be real and more real and just so valuable, because that's much greater than we could teach. So.
That's right. Amen. Mary, we'll start with you on this question. What is one promise of God that moms should hold on to as they seek to faithfully model and teach God's word to their children?
Okay, so the verse I came across was Isaiah 66:13, and it says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And all throughout being a mom, I've had to comfort our kids, sometimes for simple concerns, but sometimes for really traumatic moments. When my heart was broken, and I knew that nobody else understood. For me, I usually get a song in my heart, and I cry out to God in worship, because when I worship God, I feel closer to him, and I know my kids hear me singing, and it reminds them, hopefully, to turn to God as well. Run to God as you all raise your kids, and his comfort will comfort you, just like in that verse.
Cindy, same question.
I want to read what I wrote. There is grace for us as mothers in our failed attempts at thinking that we need to be perfect. Likewise, there is grace for our precious children as they grow, navigate, and develop their lives. In this verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And I really wanted my children, and still do, I want them to see Jesus in me, because that is their hope. And the grace that he gives to us is always there. It never runs out. Aren't you happy about that?
Amen.
So I'm forever saying, let your light shine. And then, so when I drop the kids off for school, I'm like, let your light shine. And then I turn around and tell myself, let your light shine. So for me, it's really the promise and command in Matthew 5:16 that says, let your light shine so others may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. And I just pray that, you know, the first step is to let our light shine, and for my kids too, so their teachers, their friends, or anyone else can see that there is something different. And then really learning at a young age, and this is something that I still challenge myself with, is giving the glory to God. Because after they see something's different or you're blessed with something, do you quickly turn and give that glory? So that's something that we're working on. So I love that for the promise and the challenge that it provides.
Yeah.
That's really good. Well, this verse has really blessed me recently, and it's one that I think of often. It's Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So what this is saying is, as the rain comes down, and what the rain does for the earth is what God's word does for the hearts of his people. And what does the rain do? It sustains life, it revives life, and it brings forth new life. So I just wanted to say, moms, whether you're here today and your kids are doing really well, or whether you feel like there are some dry, withered areas, spiritually speaking, that you would like to see God awaken and revive, or whether you feel like there's been a spiritual death and you're asking God to resurrect an area in their life, I just want to say that God's word is alive and it is active and it is powerful. And I just want to encourage you to use it faithfully in the lives of your children. Teach them his word. Have them memorize his word. Instruct them with his word. Pray it over them. Speak it over them. And declare it over them. Because God's word says that it will have results. And it will not return empty. And that it will fulfill the promises or the purposes that he has for it.
Amen. I think one major thing that we heard from all of you is, we don't have to be perfect parents, but we do have to turn and model turning to the perfect Father in heaven. Can we give all the moms in our worship center a hand today? Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good morning again. Wasn't that wonderful? And what a great tribute. And we are blessed around here to have some amazing women, not just the pastor's wives that were on stage, but so many other of our other pastor's wives, women on staff, women that help lead ministries here, and of course, all of you that are part of the Shadow Hills family of faith. I want to preach this morning in continuing in our series for the win, but especially to honor the gift that mothers are to our church, to our families, and not just mothers, but I want to reiterate, women in general are to our culture, are to our church. And so the book of Mark in your Bibles, I want to preach on this subject, Mary for the win, all right? Because we see a lady by the name of Mary do an amazing deed to the Lord Jesus Christ, teach us some winning principles that we can incorporate in our lives. And I tell you what, since we've been sitting for just a bit, we'll do something a little bit different. Let me let you stand while I read the scripture together. Can we do that? So stand for just a moment. I'm going to read a few verses, and that way you can stretch out, and then I'll bring the message. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, and we have the verses for you on the screen as well. Look at this. Meanwhile, starting in verse 3, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. And during supper, a woman came in with a beautiful flask of expensive perfume. Then breaking the seal, she poured it over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant among themselves about this waste, as they called it. Why, she could have sold that perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor, they snarled. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why berate her for doing a good thing? You always have the poor among you, and they badly need your help, but you can aid them whenever you want to. But I won't be here much longer. She has done what she could and has anointed my body ahead of time for burial. And I tell you this in solemn truth, that wherever the good news, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and praised. Father, bless now the reading and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, he comes to the home of a man by the name of Simon, who was a leper. This is one of those events that is actually recorded in all four of the Gospels, in the Synoptic Gospels, but all four of them, actually. And so in Matthew 26, in Luke chapter 7, in John chapter 12, we see this event. Most believe that they were having a celebration there because of Simon's recent miraculous healing from leprosy. Well, some of Jesus' closest friends were guests there. They're all hanging out at Simon's house, namely Lazarus and Martha and Mary of Bethany. Mary isn't named here in the verses that we just read in Mark, but in the narratives written by Luke and John, her identity is revealed. We know that this is Mary of Bethany. And so while people were probably milling around in the house, talking, kind of enjoying the event, maybe celebrating the healing of Simon the leper, this incredible thing happens. We read it just a moment ago. And so Mary, who loved to sit at the feet of Jesus, and this is a wonderful thing to love, right? She loved to sit at the feet of Jesus. She kneels beside him and she shatters this bottle of expensive perfume and she pours it out over the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus in preparation for Christ's burial. And watch me, in this one magnificent moment, this one magnificent gesture, we see the love and humility and service of a woman who did a great thing. And she provides this amazing example for us to follow after. And so I'm going to jump right in today, pull out some winning principles for all of us, not just for moms, not just for women, but for every person in this room today on this Mother's Day. Number one, if you have your listening notes, the first principle is this: valuing Jesus above all else. She shows us the principle of valuing Jesus above all else. Now, the scripture tells us that Mary possessed this valuable bottle of fragrant perfume. It's probably just a small vial. It was very expensive, but it contained this perfume that was most likely imported from India. And it would have been worth a year's income of an average laborer. So if you call yourself average, whatever that is, all right, I'm probably pretty average, and whatever you make per year, you take that whole annual salary, and that's how much this one bottle of perfume would have been worth. As we read in today's text, to some people, this was an incredible waste of resources, right? But to Mary, and so they say, look, this could have been used to help bless the poor. Why are you wasting it like this on Jesus? But to Mary here, it was an extravagant expression of her love and her gratitude for Jesus, for her Savior. So this woman gives her best for Jesus in acknowledgement and gratitude of the fact that, watch me, Jesus was getting ready to give his very best for her. Jesus acknowledges the fact that, man, Jesus is getting ready to give all for me. In light of that, I'm going to give the best, the most expensive, the most extravagant that I have for him. And our mothers, our moms, often give their best, don't they? I mean, they give us their all in so many ways. We could just start with the amazing and yet honestly potentially deadly act of giving birth. As we may know, sadly, a mom that died as a result of giving birth. Of course, in generations before us, this was very common, right? In Bible times, even more so. But just moms taking the risk of your life in your own hand, just in bringing a child into the world. That's why they call it stepping into the jaws of death. And this is literally often just the beginning of a mother's life of sacrifice for her children. It's like a running joke in our family that if any one of our girls, Lauren, Hannah, Reagan, now, as Cindy said, all adult children, but if any of them even breathe a hint of something that they would like help with, that my wife is getting ready to move heaven and earth to do it, right? And so, like, I see him just kind of playing her a little bit, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm an empty nester. I get all the attention now. But it doesn't always work out that way. She'll do anything she can to bless them with a kind of attitude and spirit that moms show. They show love. They show allegiance to their kid. They show how much their children are worth to them. They are worth to them more than anything. And here in this text, Mary shouts to all of us that you can't put a price tag, you can't put a value on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like, there's nothing too extravagant. There's nothing that's too exorbitant. There's nothing that's too over the top to do and sacrifice and service for Jesus. And this is an awesome principle for us to apply to our own lives. Valuing Jesus above everything else. Let me give you a second one. I think Mary goes for the win here because she teaches us to seize God-given opportunities. Seizing God-given opportunities. Look back at verse 7 if you still have the text open there in the book of Mark. Jesus said, "You always have the poor among you, and you can aid them whenever you want to." But he said, "I won't be here much longer." And so Jesus reminded those that were bothered by Mary's extravagant act that he wouldn't always be available to them in the flesh like he was right then. Like, you're not going to have me in front of you to serve me in this way for very much longer. And in the same way, I want us to think about it like this. As Christians, for those of us in this room that know Jesus as our Savior, there are some opportunities that come our way to serve Jesus, to get plugged in, to be generous. Think about our student building. We have this opportunity to give towards it in so many different ways. Serving in a ministry, helping out somebody in need, just giving somebody a hug when they need. Some of these opportunities come to us only once. And so this scenario that we see in all four of the Gospels reminds us to seize those opportunities to do the right thing at the right time. To do the right thing at the right time. And when it comes to our walk with God, what you and I need to do is we need to pray that God would give us discernment. To sense when he is opening doors. You know what I mean? Because it's like, we can't do it all. And I think the moms up here kind of told us that. And we can't walk through, we can't do every opportunity. But when God is opening up a door and providing an opportunity for us, we need to pray, God, help us to sense that it is from you, and then give us the courage, give us the selflessness to walk through those doors. Cindy and I have really tried to live by this principle in raising our three amazing girls. And we've worked at being intentional about enjoying and focusing every phase, every stage of our kids' lives. And so this idea of seizing God-given opportunities, just not letting the moment pass us by. And Cindy has been so wonderful and supportive in this. So whether it was the terrible twos, anybody feeling me on that right now? You got kids that are 1, 2, 3. You got grandkids that are 1, 2, 3, and it's awesome or whatever because you can just send them back to mom or dad. You know what I mean? But if it was the awkward middle school years, we have done our best, haven't always succeeded, but we have done our best to live in the moment with our girls. Because I feel like if we're not careful, watch me, especially parents, but this is a good life's principle, we can look forward to some things to the extent that we look past some things. Like when they get to this stage, when they start doing this, when they quit doing this, please, God. You know, we can look forward to some things to the extent where we look past some things. And again, we haven't been perfect parents by any means. But in some ways, it's not rocket science either. We have made two things top priorities in our marriage when it comes to parenting our girls. And so here are two pro tips, all right? Pro tips for Mother's Day from Pastor Brett. Number one, we have loved each other. All right, I mean, my wife and I. Guys, you've heard it. Hopefully you've heard it, but you're going to hear it this morning. The greatest gift that you can give your children is to love their mother. And the second thing we've done is kind of interesting, but we have, in large measure, we have tag-teamed shepherding our girls through the various stages of life. Cindy's like, look, I'll take birth through age 11. When they get to be 12, they're yours. Now, we've done it together, okay? We've done it together, but she just had that motherly instinct and so amazing with them. My wife is an elementary school director now. She's, you know, just directed schools and preschools and all that kind of stuff, and she just loved that. When they got to be that, she's like, Dad, you need to step in and really be the guy that helps shepherd them through that part. If we've been effective at all, it's been because we know, after almost 30 years of marriage, we know each other's strengths and weaknesses. We know each other's blind spots as a couple. We've tried to speak into that. We've tried to make consistent communication between the two of us and then between us and our girls a top priority. And so in this idea of seizing opportunities, watch me, what this bold, courageous act by this thoughtful woman here in Mark shows us is that only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ, for his glory, will last, right? Have you heard that before? This is what Mary shows us here. Look at this same idea in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14. For the length of your lives is as uncertain as the morning fog. You see it. You see it now, but soon it is gone. What you ought to say is this. So life is short, and it seems kind of like gloom and doom, like just the fog, and then it's gone. But what we ought to say is this. If the Lord wants us to, we shall live and do this or that. So the idea is that everything we do for the glory of God, that Jesus might become more famous, even in the most miscellaneous and mundane things. This thought in mind, I want Jesus. Judith said it, our executive pastor's wife. I want the world to see Jesus in my kids. So valuing Jesus above all else, seizing God-given opportunities. Number three, giving Jesus freely what we have. This is another winning principle that Mary shows us here. Verse 8. Jesus said, she has done what she could and has anointed my body ahead of time for burial. You see, as we look at this text here, we can assume that Mary didn't have time to go down to the mall. She didn't hit up downtown Summerlin, right, and shop around and purchase the perfect gift for Jesus. I don't feel or get the sense that she had time for a lot of advance preparation or even forethought, but all of a sudden this opportunity arose. Like Jesus has come to this celebration, and so here he is. I'm going to hang out with him, and oh wait, I have this. I'm going to break this out. When the opportunity arose to show love and gratitude to Jesus, watch me, she did the very best she could with what she had available to her. And love does. By the way, that's the title of a great book by a man by the name of Bob Goff. And if you haven't read that, every once in a while, I'll give you a reading tip too, all right? G-O-F-F, love does. But love does whatever it needs to do with whatever means it has available. And if you have kids, you know that's true. Love does whatever it needs to do with whatever means it has available. Well, Jesus was moved by her free and selfless generosity. And I really believe the reason he was so moved was from the heart, right? It wasn't fake. It wasn't manufactured. It was the difference between Hallmark and homemade. Nothing wrong with Hallmark, or if you went the Hallmark route, I usually go the Hallmark route. I don't know if it's actually Hallmark, but whatever the 99-cent card is at Smith. No, I'm just kidding, all right? Now, I break out the big stuff. You know, the ones you have to slide the cellophane off the top of the card. You almost want to leave it on there. You're like, man, I hope she looks at the bottom, the back to see it was $7.99 for this card alone. But if I go Hallmark, I usually get the pen out and I'll like underline some of the words even in the card, write it, make a personal note. But I love the practicality of Mary's gift. She just used the best she had, but I also love the perceptiveness of her gift because, see, Jesus had spoken many times about the fact that he came to earth to die. The Gospels record approximately 25 different instances where Jesus predicted his own death, his own resurrection, and we talked about this on Easter, but many of his followers weren't as astute as this lady Mary was. Even a lot of the apostles, like, were confused about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. But the Bible says that Mary kind of got the picture here. And Jesus clues us in verse 8 that Mary was obviously well aware of a law of that day which said that any person who died as a criminal, and we know that wrongfully, yes, but Jesus died as a criminal. But any person who died as a criminal, the law said, would be denied the customary anointing oils and perfumes associated with burial. So typically, this would have been done by the state. This would have been granted. This would have been done. But if you died as a criminal, you don't get that type of anointing. But Mary said, my Jesus will get this type of anointing before his death. And so her love here, her actions show us not only her devoted love, but it shows us her perceptive spirit. How many of you husbands, how many of you sons and daughters and friends know that God has gifted the women in our culture with this perceptive spirit? It's awesome, all right? And it's a gift. And Mary shows this. She says, this is what Jesus needs. And so Jesus would die, yes. He would go on to die, but he would not die without the care and concern and attention of Mary. She was going to make sure his body had the proper preparation. I'm so grateful to God for his gift to his church and to our families of thoughtful, perceptive women, moms. You guys are a gift, and we celebrate that today. We make no bones about it, all right? We celebrate it in a special way. You encourage us, all right? You encourage us with your care, with your grace, with your insight, with your forethought. You bless us in ways. My wife blesses me and blesses our girls in ways that we would be lost without. Let me give you one last principle today. We've talked about valuing Jesus above everything else. We've talked about seizing God-given opportunities, giving Jesus freely what we have. And lastly, impacting future generations for God's glory. This is another principle that Mary shows us. Look again at verse 9 in Mark 14. Jesus said, I tell you this in solemn truth, that wherever the good news, this is an amazing proclamation that Jesus makes about this act of Mary. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the whole world, this woman's deed will be remembered and praised. And so Mary's act is forever memorialized here in this verse. It was a gesture that only took a brief moment, right? A brief moment to crack open that bottle of perfume, but it had like this perpetual transaction type of feel to it. Jesus promised that it would never be forgotten. And I want you to catch this because like every single one, like if you're wondering if Jesus is trustworthy enough for you to put your faith in him this morning, every single one of Jesus' promises has come true. Jesus said that this act would never be forgotten. And Jesus was right, wasn't he? Because he's still right today. We're still talking about it. It hasn't been forgotten. It will not be forgotten. The idea, the principle is this, is that everything that represents sincere service and sacrifice toward Jesus and for the glory of God will have lasting and eternal value. Again, only one life, so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. The investment that we make in others, in the church, in the gospel. We're getting ready to witness some step forward and going public with our faith and being baptized again this week. But every time that you invest in this ministry, every time that you serve in this ministry, every time you pray in this ministry, every time you lift up the hands of one of your pastors and one of your leaders here, you have a part in someone coming to know Jesus. This is something that lasts forever, church. It lasts forever. And so to our mothers here this morning, and really any of us that sometimes feel like the work that we do is thankless and worthless. I think Kim kind of said this. The girls preached a great sermon, all right, before I got started today. But don't lose heart. Wherever you are today, don't lose heart. Galatians 6:9 tells us, man, church, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Because at just the right time, can you just kind of say that in your mind? At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. But there's a big if there. If we do not give up, let's encourage one another this morning not to give up. So as we move into this time of response, I want to just quickly revisit this idea of seizing God-given opportunities, principle number two, as we think about responding today. So with our moms, some of you say, love on your mom now. You see these posts on social media. I don't have mom. I wish I still did. If you have yours, call her, send her a card, bring her a gift, spend time with her. Not just today, tell her that you love her. Seize God-given opportunities with your moms. Seize God-given opportunities with your kids. I mean, it goes so fast. I have a 28-year-old. I mean, my wife looks like she's 28, honestly. But we do have a 28-year-old, you know. We have three adult daughters. It goes so fast, and we're still getting to pour into their lives, and we're thankful for that. But some of that intentional day in, day out, like you're not only going to have that for so long. And then watch me, seize God-given opportunities with God. And so what this response time is, it is a chance for every single one of us to, as the old preachers used to say, I had the privilege of growing up around a bunch of old preachers. Now somebody say, amen, I am an old preacher, all right? But as the, don't say amen, really, okay. But as the old preachers used to say, do business with God. That's a good thing. And so stand with me across the room today, if you would. If you're able to stand with me. I want to pray for us, and so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And some of us, maybe all of us, need to do some business with God. And you can do business with God right where you're seated. But sometimes God says, no, you need to go the extra mile. So step out in just a moment. We have leaders that are right down front. These are men, women. These are people that I like to call prayer partners. They're just here to whatever need you might have. If God is speaking to you today about coming to know Jesus as your Savior, you have questions about that, you want to make a decision for Jesus, step out and come in just a moment. You want to find out, I know some are getting baptized today. What would it mean? What would it look like for me to get baptized? What does that mean? Or I'm ready to do that. Maybe not this morning, but you come and talk to somebody about that. We want to talk to you about baptism, about church membership here at Shadow Hills. Maybe you want us to pray for you, pray for one of your loved ones. Whatever your need may be, as soon as we begin to sing about the goodness of God this morning, I invite you to step out and come. But whether or not you step out and come, I challenge you, everyone in here, to do some business today with God, the creator of the universe. Father, bless our time of response. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. In Christ's name we pray.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with his best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.